The flowers in the front of the church this morning are in memory of Joel William Roy, Bill and Sandy's grandson. We had his funeral on Friday here at the church. And to be honest with you, I had planned to preach a different message this morning. But Bill, when he gave Joel's eulogy on Friday, used John 15 and 16 for his as the main part of his eulogy. And it spoke to my heart. And so this morning, I'm going to go back to those same verses, and I'm going to share with you the three greatest truths. I was going to say in all the world, but it goes beyond the world. It goes into all of God's creation. And I'm going to shock you as I start this morning. I'm going to make a statement I want you to listen to real close. Your pastor has not had a bath in over 17 years. I probably shouldn't say that with the kids in the room, because they'll say, well, why do I got to take a bath if the preacher hadn't had one in 17 years? I'm a shower person. I like to get into the shower, turn the water up as hot as I can stand it, lather up and let the water rinse me off. And I realize that showers, for the most part, are for people that are in a hurry. Okay? Now, I think it's good. I haven't done it, but I think it's good every once in a while to fill up the tub, get in the tub, and just soak. After yesterday, I was tempted to do it. And I want to thank all the men that worked on the roof, that the part of a roof we put on yesterday. And it was hot, and it was, I told them I have enough trouble walking on flat ground, let alone on a roof, but the Lord protected us. But last night I was tempted. I wanted to fill up the bathtub and just soak and soak and soak. And I was thinking, too many times when it comes to the Word of God, we take showers instead of baths. We get into the Word of God and we lather up and we soap up and we rinse off and we get clean and we get refreshed because we shower in the Word of God. But every once in a while, we need to climb into the tub of God's Word and just let it soak in. Let it get into every pore. Let it get into our heart. Let it get into our mind. Let it get into our strength. Let it get into our soul. And this morning, I want you to do that. I want you to get into the tub of God's Word, into a verse that I would just like to soak into every part of your being. Someone said there's 66 books in the Bible, and there are. If you had to get rid of all of them except for one, the book that people would pick would be the book of John. And if you picked the book of John, you'd have enough. There's 21 chapters in the book of John, and if you could keep only one, I'd pick chapter 3. And if you have John chapter 3, you have enough. There's 36 verses in John chapter 3. And if you could keep only one, you'd keep John 3:16. And you'd still have enough. And again, I think we ought to preach the whole Word of God. I love the whole Word of God. But in all probability, John 3:16 is the most loved verse in the Bible, the most quoted verse in the Bible. It's the simplest verse in the Bible, but it's also the most profound verse in the Bible, John 3:16. This morning, let's just climb into the tub of John 3:16. Let's let it soak into every part of our being. And this morning, I want to share three truths, the greatest truths in the universe, the greatest truths in the Bible from John 3:16. Here's the first one. God loves us. For God so loved the world. God loves you. God loves me. And the greatest truth in the universe, the greatest truth in the Bible is that God loves us. He loves us. That perfect and righteous God loves us. That holy God loves an unholy me. That just God loves an unjust me. He that is righteous loves me who is unrighteous. He who is good loves me who is evil. He who is sinless loves me who is full of sin. He who is perfect loves me who is imperfect. And he who is truth loves me that's full of lies. Man, it ought to do something to your heart this morning. As you think about the fact that God loves you, as you just bathe in that truth that God loves us, man, it ought to make us shout, hallelujah, God loves me. It ought to make us clap our hands, God loves me. It ought to make us sing, glory to God in the highest. Hey, bud, sit down. Come on, sit down. I want you to sit down. Glory to God in the highest. God. Hey, look at over there at Murph. He's getting into my, he's going like this on the back of that seat. He knows what I'm talking about. That's the way it ought to affect all of us. God loves us. We ought to get excited about that fact. He loves us. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how much education we have. It doesn't matter what kind of house we live in or what kind of car we drive. The fact is that regardless of who we are and what we've done and where we've been, where we come from, we have a God that loves you and a God that loves me. God loves us. This week, I was talking to a self-proclaimed atheist. He tried to get me in an argument, wanted me to prove that there was God. I just kept saying to him, God loves you. He said, well, what about God loves you? What? No, God loves you. He got mad. He cussed at me, Brother Ron. He cussed at me. And I said, doesn't matter. God still loves you. He loves us. He loves us. Philip Bliss wrote that little song that we sing. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest and the sweetest and the most wonderful that Jesus loves me. It was in an insane asylum, in the cell of an insane asylum. They found these words carved into the wall. If we with ink the ocean filled, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, listen to this, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. So this morning, here's what I say to you. Forget about the, for a moment, forget about the problems you have. God loves you. Amen. Forget about the heartaches that you have. God loves you. Forget about the diagnosis you got from the doctor this week. God loves you. Amen. Forget about the tragedy that you suffered this past week. God loves you. Forget about what you got to do this afternoon or next week or the week after that you're dreading doing. Just remember this. God loves you. Amen. And it's not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. Love is action. And that verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, it's wonderful to be loved. I love it. I love it when you go out and shake my hand at the back and say, I love you, preacher. Love you. I enjoy that. But you know what's more wonderful? When you say, there's some cookies for you in your office. Or there's some homemade candy back there for you. When love turns into action. That's what I'm talking about. If you want to love your... Well, never mind. But anyhow... God just didn't stop with a feeling. He gave the best that he had. He gave one of a kind. He gave his only begotten son. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't matter what kind of sin. Doesn't matter how much of it is. And I don't know about your sin. Sometimes I don't even know about my sin. But I know a Savior that can reach to the lowest pit, to the dirtiest hole, through the blackest sin, and love me and love you. Oh, love of God. How rich and pure, how marvelous and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints' and angels' song. God loves us. There's a second truth. There's a second truth in this verse. God saves sinners. God saves sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Perish means to go to hell. Perish means to be separated from God forever. God gave his Son so we don't have to be separated from him. God gave his Son so we don't have to go to hell. Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 9:56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. The tramp on the street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned and the men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. Well, I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. Amen. Now, was I so bad that I needed forgiveness? And was I so wrong I had to be redeemed? I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison, and I was as lost as a sinner could be. Well, I am so glad God saved old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. Amen. I'm so glad that 53 years ago, God looked down on a 15-year-old boy that knelt beside his pastor in front of a red vinyl couch on a tile floor in the pastor's study. And as a teenager, I told Jesus that I was a sinner. And I told Jesus I didn't want to go to hell. And I told Jesus I was trusting him for heaven. And the great God of all eternity reached down into that room, wrapped his arms around me and said, "Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved." Amen. If you're not saved, you have no idea what I'm talking about this morning. There's a joy and there's a peace that just comes by knowing that you're saved. If you haven't done it, I encourage you this morning, try it. Try it. So the three greatest truths: God loves us. Number two, God saves us. And number three, God keeps us saved. Amen. He keeps us saved. I'm glad that he loves me. I'm glad that he saved me. And I'm glad he keeps me saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. But have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Every time you think about the fact that you have everlasting life, when you take the time to bathe in that truth that you have everlasting life, it ought to make us where we can't stay still. It ought to make us raise our hands toward heaven. I'm saved. I'm saved forever. I have everlasting life in the name of Jesus Christ. When I was 15 years old and I prayed that prayer, my name was written in heaven. And God took the blood of Jesus and blotted out all my sins. And if you go to heaven this morning and you say, "Dear God, I want to see the record of that preacher. I want to see his sin record." God will open up the book and the page will be empty of any sin. Doesn't mean I'm good. Doesn't mean I always do right. Doesn't mean I never do wrong. But my sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you look at my record this morning, you will not see my sin. You will see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because I am dressed in His righteousness. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to walk that street of gold like Luke is doing this morning, Brother Bill and Sandy. He's walking that street of gold. He's seen His mansion. He's sat down at the table. He's eaten that meal that God has prepared for us in heaven. Oh, I can't wait. Brother Wendell? No. I went to the doctor this week. My triglycerides doubled. The doctor said, "You're eating too much and not getting enough exercise." I said, "It's my wife's fault. I got married." Oh, she's giving me a dirty look. I'm going to get it for that.
Bread and water.
Yeah, bread and water for me from now on. I'm the one who decides to pick up the fork. I'm the one who decides to put it on. She just tempts me. But anyhow, when we get to heaven, Brother Wendell, we're not going to have to worry about cholesterol or triglycerides or fat or unsaturated fat or all that other stuff they say we need to worry about. We're going to feast at the table of God. It's going to be heavenly manna. It's going to be food fit for a king. We're going to sit down at that banquet table and we can eat and we won't have to worry about what we're eating because it's all good because it comes from God. We're going to be there in heaven. We're going to get to see the heroes of the faith like Paul and Timothy and Moses. We're going to get to see those who have gone before us, like our mom and our dad and our grandparents and brothers and sisters. We're going to get to go to that place called heaven because God keeps us saved. I have everlasting life. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I have a God who loves me, I have a God who saves me, and I have a God who keeps me saved. He keeps me saved. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Do you have that same? Do you have that? Do you know that God that loves you? Do you know His salvation? Do you know the assurance that you have, that we have, that He keeps us safe? Then rejoice. Amen. Rejoice. You got something to be happy about. You got something to shout about. You got something to clap your hands about. God loves us. Amen. He saved us. He keeps us saved. If you don't know it, why don't you come and try it? The psalmist says, come, taste and see that the Lord is good. I could spend all day talking to you about how good it is to be saved, but until you try it for yourself, you don't know what I'm talking about. Last Sunday morning, Michael came, knelt at this altar.
Amen.
Ask Jesus to be a Savior. If I had time, Michael, I'd ask you to stand and ask you how your week's been this week. I've heard a little bit about it. I've heard the fact that you're here this morning tells me something about it. But you won't know what it's all about. You won't know what it's all about until you come try it for yourself. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're still under the condemnation of sin. The wages of sin is death. Would you come to Jesus? He loves you. He died on Calvary's cross to save you. And He'll give you everlasting life if you come to Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for John 3:16. Thank You for the hope it gives us of a life that's everlasting if we come to Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that's never, ever come to Christ. They've never admitted that they were a sinner. They've never admitted that there's a penalty for that sin. And You as God have every right to punish us for sin. And they've never trusted Christ and what He did on Calvary for them. Would You, in the quietness of this moment, help them see their sin. Help them see what Jesus did for them. And right now, Father, help them to trust Him. To say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. And I'm trusting You as my Savior. Father, help them to do that. And I pray if they do, that in just a second, they'll get up from their seat and they'll walk down the aisle and they'll share with the rest of us the decision that they made to trust Christ. Or if they need help in doing that, they'll get up from their seat and come down the aisle and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to never take what we have in Christ for granted. Help us to always rejoice in it. To always know what we have in Christ. And so, Father, I pray you bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.